this your sight and your hearing? Who brings the dead out of the living, and who brings the living out of the dead, and who controls the affairs? They will say Allah. And then Allah will say to them, wouldn't you be pious? Wouldn't you then pious me? Wouldn't you believe? Wouldn't you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ascribe him only by his, by the worship? Of course the answer for any person who can deny is yes, this is what we have to do. The third element of tawheed is tawheed al-asma' wa-sifat, oneness of names and attributes. Allah is our deity to worship him. This deity has names and attributes. And those names and attributes are unique to Allah Azza wa Jal. No one shares with him his names and attributes. Therefore, believing in the names and attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal has to be according to what Allah has said in the Quran, in Surah Al-Shura, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. Nothing like unto him. And he is al-Sami', he is al-Basir. He is the all-hearer, he is the all-seer. Realize how this ayah is, the structure of this ayah. First, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. Nothing like unto him. This part of this ayah negates any similarity between Allah and his creation. Because verily, Allah is the creator and you are the creation. Your attributes are created and Allah's attributes are not. So this part negates any similarity between us and Allah. Then the second part of this ayah affirms two qualities, or two names that contain qualities. The two names of the all-hearer, al-Sami'. The second quality is the all-seer, the all-seer, al-Basir. So do not think, son of Adam, that simply because you hear, you are Sami', you can listen, you can hear, and you are Basir, you can see, that your ability to see and your ability to hear compares to Allah's attributes. If you think that, you are committing shirk. Do not think that, because Allah said in the beginning of this ayah, nothing like unto him. From this ayah, the scholars of Al-Islam developed four criteria by which we believe in the names and attributes of Allah Azza wa Jalla. First one is without resembling, bila tamthil. And that is Allah said without resemblance means nothing can resemble him in any shape or form. We believe in the names and attributes of Allah without making those names and attributes resemble the names and attributes of Allah's creation. The second one, without imagination, or without tashbih, without careful imagination, without similitude. We do not make similitude between Allah and his creation. Since there is nothing like Allah, we cannot similitude him to anything else. You can similitude things that are the two of them. You can, this person is similar to this person. But Allah is the only one, so we cannot substitute Allah to anything else. Therefore, we believe in the names and attributes of Allah without substituting those attributes and those names. And the meanings of the wording. When a certain wording, certain sentence in the Quran comes, we have to believe in it without altering those meanings. And the first one is without suspending the meaning contained in the wording. If Allah tell us a sentence in the Quran and this sentence carry a meaning, we can never strip the ayah from this meaning. Example will illustrate this point. One of Allah's attributes is the hand. Thus, we must believe in that. We must believe in this attribute of Allah Azza wa Jal first without resemblance. This means that the hand, which is one of Allah's attributes, does not resemble in any shape or form the hand of His creation. For example, to shed more light on this issue, you have a hand. And the horse has a hand. Does that mean your hand and the horse's are the same? Of course not, because you are similar than the horse. You are not similar to the horse. Allah is not similar to us. Allah is the creator, and we are the creation. If Allah has a hand, we cannot say it's similar to our hand, or our hand is similar to Him. We say He has a hand, but we do not resemble His hand in any way. Secondly, without making substitution, we do not say our hand is part of us. That means Allah's hand is part of Him. This us being part is due to us being created. But we do not know how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Therefore, we cannot start substituting in this aspect. We cannot start imagining things. We just believe in it without asking how it is, without resembling it. The third criterion is to believe without altering the meaning. Some of the sects of Islam, they take an ayah in the Quran where it says Allah that proves the attributes of the hand. And they say, this hand, the linguistic here, is not a real description, but it's a metaphorical speech which manifests strength. Because in Arabic language, hand can manifest strength. We say to those people, why are you saying it a metaphorical term? Why you are assigning it to be a metaphorical term? Because the qaida is, if we can understand it in a real perspective, we should not use the metaphorical term. They will say to us, we need to use it in a metaphorical sense, because if we say Allah has a hand, and we have a hand, we are comparing ourselves to Allah. We ask them and we say to them, didn't you read that Allah is nothing like unto Him? We can affirm that Allah has a hand, and we glorify Him from any resemblance to His creation, by simply don't ask why and how and start drawing analogies and examples and imagine things in your mind. Therefore, by saying that, there's no reason for the metaphorical term or the metaphorical understanding. And we go with the haqiqah, the real understanding that Allah has a hand, but we glorify Him from any similarity to us. And the fourth is without suspending. That is also when some of the they say no, Allah does not have a hand, and that is not even metaphorical, and they just strip the passage from any meaning. They say that it has no meaning that we can understand. We say this is false, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals things for us to understand. Not to reveal things to us no one can understand. So inshaAllah now we understand how we believe in the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similar to that, another example that will shed more light on this issue. We believe that Allah exists. Anyone believes that Allah exists. And you exist, don't you? Does that mean your existence similar to Allah's existence? Your existence was preceded by adam, by nothing, by death. And it will precede by death. But the existence of Allah Azza wa Jalla is eternal. Simply because you exist now and Allah exists, that does not mean your existence compares to Allah Azza wa Jalla. Similar to that, if one of the attributes of Allah is a hand and you have a hand, that does not mean your hand compares to Allah Azza wa Jalla. This point will clear all misunderstanding concerning this issue. وَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدِ وَالْمُنَّ وَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدُ وَالْمُنَّةِ So that is believing in the names and attributes of Allah Azza wa Jalla. What is the importance of believing in the names and attributes of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala? We say to know Allah. Allah introduces Himself to us in the Quran. You find every ayah, almost every ayah contains one of His names and attributes. Even though we can never understand and comprehend Allah in totality, but nevertheless, according to what Allah gives us intelligence and ability, we can know Allah Azza wa Jalla. He told us to know Him. He said, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ No, have the knowledge that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah. How can you have this knowledge? By knowing His names and attributes. We say to you, Ya Akhwan, developing a perception regarding anything is a consequence of knowing that thing. Therefore, to develop a perception regarding your Lord, you have to know your Lord. How you know your Lord? You know Him by His names and attributes. Therefore, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, to Allah belongs 99 names. Whoever collects those names will enter paradise. Collecting the names of Allah Azza wa Jalla is not putting it on a piece of paper and hanging it on the wall. Collecting the names of Allah Azza wa Jalla starts with knowing those names, believing in them according to what we have talked about, the four criteria. بلا تنفيذ ولا تشبيه ولا تعطيل ولا تحريف. And then realizing those names and attributes in your behavior. You know that Allah sees everything, so you are behaving in a way that manifests your belief that Allah sees you. So you will be doing things that Allah loves for you to do. You believe Allah hears everything, so you will be behaving in a way that reflects your belief that Allah hears your speech, whether you are saying good things or bad things. Therefore, it was the highest level of Iman is to worship Allah as if you see Him. Because if you do not see Him, He sees you. Imagine yourself driving your car going 55 miles an hour and the speed limit is 40 miles. If you do not see no policemen around, you're going to be going fast. If you see a police car you're going to start slowing down and go easy. Because you know this person is seeing you and he might stop you. So you believe he sees you, so you slow down. But this person, this car might be empty. The person might be asleep. He might be dead. Be rest assured that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees you and he does not sleep and he is alive. الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. Allah there's no deity except him. He is alive. He is the one who قيوم. He is the one who establishes and takes care of everything. And he never sleeps and he never dozes off. So by believing in his names and attributes, you will be shaping up your behavior. Also by knowing him, we love him. Because loving Allah Azza wa Jal is one of the most important acts of worship that we do. We were created to worship Allah Azza wa Jal, as we're going to find out. And as Allah said, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. We created jinn and ins to worship. We were created to worship Allah Azza wa Jal. And this worship, achieving this worship, establishing our slavery to Allah, is in connection to how much we love Him. The one who loves Allah the most is the one who establishes his slavery to Allah the best. The one who loves Allah the most is the one who can establish his slavery to Allah the most and the best. أكمل الناس عبودية أكمل الناس محبة لله سبحانه وتعالى. This love of loving Allah Azza wa Jal is due to two things, to His bounty and to His self. You love Allah for His bounty, and those bounties are two types, bounties of enjoyment and bounties of obedience. The bounties of enjoyment is what Allah has given you to enjoy, the food, the health, the children, everything that you enjoy in this life. This is the bounties of enjoyment. The bounties of obedience are more important than the bounties of enjoyment. The bounty of obedience is Allah bestowed His bounty upon you to make you pray, to make you fast, to make you read Quran, to save you from disbelief. Those are very important bounties, and people usually do not consider them as bounties. The people look upon themselves and they feel proud that they are doing that, thinking they are doing Allah the favor by doing those worships. But it's the exact opposite. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing you the favor by leading you to worship Him and to obey Him. So we love Allah for bestowing His bounties upon us. Those bounties of al-lazzat, the enjoyment, and those bounties of al-ta'at. And also we love Allah because He is worthy of love. He is the only deity worthy of love per se. And we love Him because He's perfect. We love Him because of His perfection. How we know His perfection? By knowing His names and attributes. And those two things, we love Allah for those two things, but the one who loves Allah because Allah deserves the love is different than who loves Allah only because of His bounty. Therefore, Allah Azza wa Jalla said in the Quran about some people, يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ عَلَى حَرْبٍ. They worship Allah on the edge. If a calamity hits this person, he will turn away. Because his love is not sincere because he loves Allah, because Allah deserves the love. But he loves Allah because Allah is giving him. If the giving is stopped, this person will stop from loving Allah and he will turn on his heel. So this is the benefit, ya ikhwani, from knowing the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is for us to develop a perception of our Creator so we can love Him, and by loving Him the best, we can worship and establish our slavery to Him in the best that, in the best format. Having talked about the three elements of Tawheed, we move on, inshaAllah, to talk quickly about, to complete the subject, about the elements of shirk. The reason being because elements of Tawheed is how we believe in Allah. Believing in Allah is one of the articles of faith. How we believe in Allah is according to the elements of those Tawheed that we have mentioned. But, and any act of shirk will lessen our belief in Allah Azza wa Jal to varying degrees. Therefore we say shirk is two types. Shirk that will establish the person outside the fold of Islam, and this is called shirk akbar. And shirk that will reduce the faith of a person, but nevertheless this person within the fold of Al-Islam. An example of a major shirk, a shirk akbar, when a person is worshipping a false deity. This person who is worshipping a false deity, even though believes that Allah exists, nevertheless he is allocating the worship and the obedience to other than Allah Azza wa Jal. Therefore this person is a disbeliever. This is called shirk akbar. Anyone who dies with shirk akbar, he is not subject to the forgiveness of Allah Azza wa Jal. As he said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَنْ يُشْرَكَ بِهِ. Allah does not forgive association in him. The other type of shirk is shirk asghar, minor shirk. Some people do not underestimate minor shirk because it has the word minor. Minor shirk compared to major, but sin of itself is a major sin. An example of minor shirk is showing off. To show off. Al-riya'u shirk. When a person is allocating his worship to Allah Azza wa Jal, but he is doing it not for the purpose of seeking the pleasure of Allah, he is doing it for the purpose of seeking the acceptance of the people. Now his action is minor shirk. Minor in perspective that he is still within the fold of Al-Islam, nevertheless he is doing action, or part of his action is allocated to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a way of realizing their acceptance, realizing their praise. This is called minor shirk. Also we have a hidden shirk, is a shirk that is hidden. Hidden shirk refers when a person announces Islam, but he is a disbeliever within himself. He is doing that out of hypocrisy. Also, shirk could be in tawhid al-rububiyyah, or in al-uluhiyyah, or in al-asma' wa-sifat. Shirk in al-rububiyyah, that somebody believes that there is an authority that can hurt you, that can benefit you, or that can harm you, independently from the will of Allah Azza wa Jal, that would become shirk. Everything that comes through any authority upon us that harms us was done by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has planned for that. Therefore, Prophet Muhammad said to Ibn Abbas in the famous hadith, if the entirety of the people want to bring good to you, they can only do that by the will of Allah, if Allah has permitted that to take place. And if the entirety of the humanity wants to bring evil to you, they cannot do that unless if Allah has allowed for that to take place. If you look at people, as some people come and do you a favor, good deed, you have to thank this person. But you have also to be rest assured that this person is only a means, but Allah Azza wa Jal is the real giver. Allah Azza wa Jal is the real provider. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, من لم يشكر الناس لم يشكر الله. Whoever is not grateful to the people is not grateful to Allah. So upon hearing that, when somebody does us a favor, we say thank you, we appreciate your effort. But we know that he is only a means, he is only a means that was assigned by Allah Azza wa Jal, but the final and the real giver is Allah. Shirk in Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, when somebody worships other than Allah. And that worship could take place in obedience. That a person obeys other than Allah, believing that the command of other than Allah is better than the command of Allah, this is major shirk. As Allah said to Muhammad, he did not worship him, meaning the rabbis and the priests. He said, they made the haram thing halal for you and you followed them and you accepted that in your heart, and they made the halal thing haram for you, you followed them and you accepted that in your heart. This is your worshipping to them. So worshipping other than Allah takes different forms. Take the form of making prostration to the statue, and take a form by obeying other than Allah and legislating rules and accepting those rules. Also, shirk could be manifested in resemblance of other than Allah to Allah Azza wa Jal. If we say so and so knows the unseen, just like Allah knows all the unseen, we made this entity as a partner to Allah Azza wa Jal. If we say, because knowing the unseen is one of Allah's attributes that is only unique to Him. If we say somebody has the power, or somebody, a better example, somebody has the attribute of seeing similar to the attribute of Allah Azza wa Jal, we are making this entity a partner to Allah. So that would be making sure with the names and attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal, because again, believing in His name and attributes has to be without tamthil, without resemblance and bringing equivalency to Allah, without tashbih, without similitude, without tahreef, which is alteration of the meanings and corruption of the meanings, and without ta'teel. Those people who made tahreef and ta'teel, they wanted to glorify Allah. But we say, we glorify Allah without suspending His name. Yet, we affirm His qualities without resemblance. So we glorify Him without suspending His meaning, and we affirm His names and attributes without resembling or without tendency. So having said that, we review what we have said before, inshaAllah, that believing in Allah Azza wa Jal has three elements: Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, al-Uluhiyyah, al-Asma' wa al-Sifat. توحيد الربوبية, meaning that Allah has, is the only one who has al-mulk wal-khalq wal-tadbir. توحيد الألوهية, that Allah is the only one worthy of worship. توحيد الأسماء والصفات, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who possesses his names and attributes, and there's no partner in him in his names and attributes. Having said that, we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for enabling us to explain this issue. وَلِلَّهِ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى الْحَمْدُ وَالْمِنَّةِ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ وَبَارَكَ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمَ.